Welcome to the Fear Fiction Podcast. Fear fic is the term for short horror fiction, mostly posted on the web. It includes any and all related subgenres. Join three assholes, talking basement goo slime beast, inebriated interstellar traveler Abysme, and irritable ghostly man whore Dead Palette, as they read all stories horror and internet related, paragraph by paragraph, and bullshit while they do it. From adolescent revenge fantasies to subtle postmodern narratives about real-life events and everything in between, they read it and critique. You better believe it. Kick it to the cold open, white boy.
Hey, Abysme.
What?
Since Dead Palette is not here, this is our chance to hijack the cold open. What do you think?
I got nothing prepared. Do you have anything prepared?
Did you see what Dead Palette said in the Skype chat the other day about his plans to buy out Toys R Us and turn it into an adult toy store?
That's something he would do, though.
Mm-hmm.
He
was going to change it to Toys R Ass, you know?
Toys R Ass?
Yeah.
Toys R Ass.
Oh, he's back.
Yeah.
We weren't talking about your plans. So, what'd you have to do, DP?
I just had to execute the dog.
He knows too much. But yeah.
So, I fucking hate it when people misgender my dog. I legitimately get offended. I'm like, God damn it.
Stop calling it Hitler.
Yeah.
Call it Ava Braun.
You know.
German Shepherd Ava dog. Just as good.
Okay, well, that gets even more confusing, because my niece is called Ava.
Damn it. Your niece is named Ava Braun? Jeez, really? Welcome to the Fear Fiction Podcast.
Fucking no.
I sense that Elias probably will bleep out some of that. I don't know, but I sense that
Is this really the cold open we're going with?
Yes. Maybe not. I don't know. We could put it to a vote. What do you think?
Let's let the chat vote.
Okay, everybody in the chat, put 1 if you think that should be the cold open. Put 2 if you think we should do another one. I see Elias has put 1. Abysme has
put
1.
Does Elias's vote count?
No.
Is Utah a swing state? The answer to that is an obvious no, but yeah.
Since Mitt Romney didn't get elected, I think that's like Abysme, you're a lawyer, tell me this. That's like double jeopardy. That means no Mormon can ever get elected ever, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, as a non-lawyer, I would have to say absolutely.
Okay.
And thank God for those laws.
Gotta be born in America. Can't be Mormon.
You know, that being said, Mormonism is the most American religion ever, so, yeah, I don't know.
You know, you're right.
Instead of angels, do they have eagles?
Wish. No, I think the most American religion is creesters. Have you ever heard that term, creesters?
Nah.
People who go to church on Christmas and Easter.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
okay.
Totally. Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Even most registered Christians are like, yeah, faith's kind of important to me. I go to church now and then.
Now, Scientology.
Not me. We can all agree is the correct religion.
What was it? Islam, you said?
Scientology, yeah. Clearly.
It's Scientology, where does that fit into everything?
That is also a very American religion.
Is it, or is it more of like a California religion, like a celebrity, like a Hollywood religion?
I think that's what it became, but when it started out, I think it was more like it just happened to have taken the strongest foothold in California. But it's, you know, it's based off of a dude who wrote fiction and everyone bought into it, like, you know, pulp fiction.
We can all agree that Scientology is the most fear fiction of religions.
Yes. Scientology is a fear fic. I was just about to say, where is my religion? Where is the Holy Church of Oh, God, I guess it would be negative, Mickey, but never mind.
That Xenu in the corner. That Xenu in the filling me with beta thetans. I can never remember what is what.
Trying to keep Tom Cruise
out of jail.
Oh, God.
For all the women that he murdered.
Oh, no, I've said too much.
Too much.
By the way, I have a tie to
Tom
Cruise.
That's the worst. You know, they have the C word, right? Which is basically slave labor.
Really?
They have the C word? What?
Sea Org.
Oh, okay.
If you don't know about the Sea Org.
Yeah,
the Sea Organization, which is like basically Scientology slave labor. Like, the worst job you can be assigned is prevent Tom Cruise from killing more women.
I also heard you say C word, and I was thinking, children?
They have the C word.
The second worst job to have in Scientology is the person who disposes of the dead women.
when they did
bear fruit.
The third worst job is woman for Tom Cruise. But, I mean, that's, dead palate.
That's not really a job for Scientology. You're thinking of the third worst job, which is the person who abducts women for Tom Cruise.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. Tom Cruise loves to do his own stunts. He probably abducts his own women.
Hmm. Now,
well, they need someone there if he's not tall enough to put the bag.
Are we on board?
He needs somebody to put the steppy stool in front of the woman, sneak up behind her, put a steppy stool there. That way Tom Cruise can step up.
Oh, maybe Tom Cruise just hunches down behind them like cow tipping.
I don't know. Maybe he's like the jockey from Left 4 Dead.
Yes! Oh, somebody out there, fan art of Tom Cruise is the jockey from Left 4 Dead guiding
jumping
around
on a
tall
woman.
Now, important note about Tom Cruise, if you're going to render Tom Cruise properly, his teeth are off-center to where he has a center tooth. Now, you don't notice it at first, but you're just like, no, he has perfectly lovely white teeth. And then you realize the center of his face, there is a tooth.
Now, who else do we know that has an iconic face that is slightly irregular?
Irregular face Johnny? I don't know who.
Hey, irregular face Johnny here. I'm a new character from the Fear Fiction podcast. No, Johnny, no. Jeff the Killer, perhaps? Maybe?
Oh, yeah, there's that segue. Well, Jeff the Killer is an anime character, so his teeth are all one giant top tooth and a bottom tooth.
Oh, man, imagine if he had Sonic the Hedgehog eyes, where it was one big globulous eye. That'd be awesome.
See, that would make it actually frightening.
Jeff the Killer looked at me with his hyper-realistic Sonic eyes.
His mono eye with the... How is it like it's one eye, but it's still two pupils?
It's weird. Oh, gotta go to sleep fast! But yeah.
Gotta cringe fast.
God damn it. So, today's story, tonight's story.
Jeff the fucking killer.
Jeff the killer. Jeff colon the killer. And who's the author of this? It's some young pixel fellow, it looks like.
It is friend of the show, a Too Spooky community member, fellow Ashcan kid, the Lolliot.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, not me either. Lolliot, I think, submitted this a while ago. But we did want to read it because each of us has read at least, two, three versions of Jeff the Killer in our time.
Some of us have written versions of Jeff the Killer.
I debate that mine is the best.
The Bakugan debacle?
Yes.
The Bakugan?
Bakugan, isn't that the thing that is from Naruto?
What was it? I can't think of the right name.
No,
Beyblades. It was just Beyblades. No, Bakugan. Yeah, Bakugan is its own thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically Pokemon with weird mecha dragons and shit.
Hmm. Which also is Pokemon.
Yeah.
So
Japan giving the kids the vaccines to turn them gay. So this is Jeff the Killer 2017, I believe.
2018?
Yeah, okay. No, this is posted July of 2018.
Somebody else, another prominent author, wrote JTK 2017.
Okay.
Someone out there.
All right.
So the Lolliot friend of the show.
So this is we're going to be doubling Jeff the Killer current year.
I'll go ahead.
We are.
Yeah. Jeff the Killer current year.
Jeff the Killer current year. Justin Trudeau. Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. My name is Slime Beast, and I'm going through editing together the botched audio from our original cold open and splicing it onto the recording we made after the recording program crashed and shut down. So, normally Elias would be doing this, and you would hear Elias's voice right now, but he's getting over a case of strep throat, and yeah, so it's falling to me to do his job. But yeah, I'm not sure exactly how this will be cut together in the end. After I finish doing this, I'm going to send it off yet again for further editing. So, who knows, maybe you'll never even hear this. But I'm going to edit on the original audio, as you've just heard. And I'm going to leave intact the second cold opening we did, where we were extremely pissed off about losing that recording. So here we go.
Did you know that Scientology basically has slave labor?
Yes, I believe it's in Sea Org, or so I've been told.
Tom yes. Cruise.
Can you all tell that we lost a portion of our fucking recording?
Oh my god, guys.
You know what's funny? Eagles. And
yeah.
Thetans.
And dead women.
Jesus Christ.
And Tom Cruise as the jockey from Left 4 Dead.
Mm. Yeah.
Fan art.
It was a good cold open, guys.
Yeah. Fucking gone now.
Recipe for a cure for cancer. Who knows what it was? I don't remember now, but
I've been drinking, so I don't remember.
I do remember that we did tackle the worst jobs that you could get out of the Sea Org, which is the slave labor for Scientology. The worst one, I believe, was the person who prevents Tom Cruise from killing women. The second one was, see, this is funny. I hope this is funny to you, listener, because it is no longer funny to us because we lost the cold open. The second worst job is the person who disposes of the bodies when inevitably Tom Cruise kills another woman. And then the third one is the person who captures the women for Tom Cruise to kill.
Hey, how do you think he captures them? Do you think Tom Cruise hunches her and they cow tip her or what?
Yeah, she's not tall enough, so there has to have a person come up from behind with a little steppy stool and sneak up and put that there. That way Tom Cruise can do the body bagging himself.
But
that's
you know
so
what,
funny and clever.
He's so short.
You know what the most American religion is Mormonism.
Yeah. Genuinely, that is true, though, that Scientology is the most fear-fic religion.
Yes.
Okay, that's still funny.
I mean, it's based on fear fiction, essentially. If Ron Hubbard was alive today, he'd be posting online short horror stories.
May he rest in his weird chamber before he ascends to... I don't know anything about fucking Scientology. That's all I got.
Well, they have this thing where when you die, they take a few potatoes, cram them down your pants...
And then the potatoes absorb all of your sin and homosexuality.
Right. And if the potatoes grow...
And then you eat the potatoes.
And you bury the potatoes underground, and they keep forever because they're tubers. And then that's where you bury all the sin. Mm-hmm. So don't eat potatoes. They're concentrated sin, is what I mean.
It's like one of those... Twitter memes where it's like the big potato is related being homosexual is like labeled being homosexual, and then a person is just labeled me, and it's just a person gnawing a raw baked potato.
Oh man.
Ugh, fuck
yeah.
And you know who also has fucked up teeth mouth?
That creepypasta icon, teeth mouth. Oh, Channel Zero is adapting Teeth Mouth to its next season.
It's just the Tooth Child for like 6 hour long episodes just walking around a forest. Yelling at things.
What if Teeth Mouth is just a regular guy in a world of people with no teeth? Teeth Mouth.
Be careful, I think Crypt TV just took our idea submission and now they're running with it.
Oh god. Have you seen this, okay?
This fucking asshole and his audacity of having teeth.
Maybe it's not like an alternate reality. Maybe it just takes place in Appalachia.
The yeah. mouth guy.
Hey everybody, Teeth Mouth here. How you doing? But yeah. So, yeah, who else has teeth, DP?
Jeff the Killer has teeth.
You know what would be funny is if Jeff the Killer had one big Sonic the Hedgehog globular eyeball? That'd be funny.
Funny.
Goddamn.
Why is everybody so burpy tonight?
You guys started it. When I fucking called in, you guys were burping like crazy. So.
Yeah, but that was before we started recording.
I'm burpy.
I've been drinking.
I'm drinking a Red Bull.
Oh, God.
Drinking Belhaven Scottish Ale, which is an import from Scotland.
I decided.
Go ahead.
Fucking, I'm pissed me. I drink alcohol, man.
For you.
Yeah, I know quite a lot. Next time I go LARPsoft, like doing LARPsoft stuff where you do Aerosoft stuff, but it's also LARPing. It's like a weird post-apocalyptic military simulation. I am just going to carry around an entire bottle of white wine, probably two, because it's a weekend, so I'll probably need two.
Now, what if you get shot in the bottle of white wine? Like, is it going to take a bullet for you on your chest? Like, you can have it in your shirt pocket?
That is like legitimately kind of an issue. Is like not being able to feel BBs being hit, like hitting you because you're wearing like all of this like. Military surplus shit. You're
just covered in bottles of white wine.
Yes. Like, dude, we heard it ding. We know you got hit.
That is one advantage paintball has over airsoft, which is like, okay, we can clearly see you got hit. There's the paint.
But the downsides of paintball are that, one, it's messy. Two, it's extremely, extremely expensive comparatively. And three, the guns look really, really dumb.
Yeah. See, that's why both airsoft and paintball will never be on the level of actually shooting somebody. Because with that, there's no doubt. You get like a not only just visual cue, but usually like a sound cue of like shrieking, you know. So.
Yeah.
One thing I would love to see in, like, I've never done LARPsoft. I've only heard about it through Death Paladair, but like I would go old way with it and do like a Cold War espionage, give everyone like their own mission and everyone's armed.
That's everyone's, what we do.
Is it like everyone's like out for themselves and no one knows who's a double agent or not?
To a large degree, yes.
That's fucking awesome. I would totally do that.
Do you have like the blonde bombshell in fishnet stockings that you don't know if you can trust her or not? But she's so smoking hot that you're willing to take the risk?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay, good. I was hoping so.
Teeth Mouth. That
would be
my code name.
Teeth Mouth.
Cool name, Teeth Mouth.
Teeth Mouth the Killer.
Yes.
It's kind of like Deep Throat.
True.
Less sensual.
Now I'm thinking of a James Bond love interest where it's just her name. She's like some Ukrainian or Russian woman, and her name is I Use My Teeth.
Code name Teeth Mouth. I use a lot of teeth.
Teeth Mouth just is like a really, really, really sexy, smoking hot lady, but she has the buck fucking teeth you can ever imagine.
Just terrible, terrible teeth.
That's not a problem.
Well, before we get into this story, I'm going to go get another beer because y'all took too long.
Well, you know who could open that beer? Teeth Mouth with her buck teeth. So now that he's gone, let's talk about his plan to open up an adult toy store in the old Toys R Us buildings. I think he was going to call it Toys R Ass. Is that correct?
And if he does that, I'll open up a store next to it that is just cleaning agents for sex toys.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say something like Bibles. You know, like, don't go over
no,
there.
No, what if he does have, like, a shop that's just dildo dry cleaning?
Hmm, that sounds good. Dildo dry cleaning, by the way, sounds like an anime.
I'd watch that anime. I like animes about weird, mundane things.
The maids of dildo dry cleaning are back at it again in this season of dildo dry cleaning.
That's what we can do while he's away. I'll bring up an anime, a random anime, and then I'll read the description of it, and then you'll guess the title.
So is this going to be a recurring segment called Randome?
It's a harsh and barren wasteland where the weak aren't allowed to dream. It is also a sacred land for true men, for there is no place a man can feel more alive. This is the gun frontier. Sea pirate Captain Harlock and the errant samurai Tochiro arrive in the United States on the western frontier, along with a mysterious woman who they meet along the way. The two friends challenge... The two friends challenge sex rings, bandits, and a corrupt sheriff. No, it just says corrupt sheriff. Great grammar. They are searching for the lost clan of Japanese immigrants, and they will tear Gun Frontier from end to end until they find it.
So
would you watch this?
Am I supposed to guess if it's real or fake?
No, it's real.
Oh, okay.
You're supposed to guess the name of the show.
I probably wouldn't watch it because anime is for dorky weebs, but I would name it, let's see, I would name it Six Shooter Sunflower.
It's called Gun Frontier. It said it three fucking times in the description.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't listen to that shit. I don't compare numbers against words.
I'm back. Yeah.
Abysme.
Words are numbers. Are we reading Jeff the Killer?
We're fucking reading Jeff the Killer. It's by the Lolliot. Friend of the show. Too spooky member. Ashcan Kid. He sent us this, and we're going to fucking read it.
And we're going to be extra mean to him because he's a friend of the show. No special favors, you little bitch.
We're going to be mean. We're going to be ruthless.
Yeah. Unless there's a character named Ruth in the story. But this, I should point out, once again, because we did this and we lost it, it's Jeff Colon the Killer.
And this is Jeff the Killer current year.
That's right. Justin Trudeau. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jeff Kaplan.
You kill people in their sleep, you win.
Yeah.
Randy's old Ford bounced with the bumps of the old dirt road, and I was amazed that none of us had been knocked unconscious from the shitty suspension.
The shitey.
Shitey? Shitey.
One T. So this person is from
Scotland,
Ireland, or Scotland? Yeah.
Shite. Oh, a shite suspension.
All right. So DP, in your best Scottish accent, continue.
Oh, here we go.
Oh god, I held on to the safety handle tight.
That was the Beatles. That was Liverpool. I held on to the handle.
Ringo's been bit by a vampire.
I was trying to do Meredith from Meredith. I held on to the safety handle tight to the point where I could feel my fingernails push into my palms as we drove deeper and deeper down the country lane.
All right. So they're going from riding in the pickup.
Country road. Take me home.
This is how we roll.
The plains of Africa.
God.
From the back, I could hear Troy and Jane talking to each other about how much they hated the new Annabelle movie. Ooh. Okay, so we are...
Controversial.
Controversial.
It is current year, too.
Mm-hmm. And how they took way too many liberties with the actual story. I could just barely hear them over the sound of the red truck's horrible motor screaming, and I was thankful that we were getting close to the lake.
Hmm. All right, so... Randy, Troy, two of the bullies. I guess our narrator may be, is it Tyler? What was it?
Maybe.
What was the third villain, the third bully, Tristan, Travis, Trico?
Was it Travis?
And we've got Jane also.
We do have Jane already, Jane, which is kind of cool, getting that out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Jane is here.
And it seems like they're all friends.
Hmm.
You
either
know?
That or they've abducted Jane and they're talking about a movie.
Well, I mean, like at a certain point, that's what the Stockholm syndrome thing is all about, is just like you eventually are going to get bored.
Right. You just start talking about Annabelle.
You guys like horror movies? Yeah. <Just sitting. laughs>
She's got like a bag over her head and a blindfold, and she's just like, yeah, my problem with modern day horror movies is that they rely too much on jump scares and... By the way, where are we going?
Randy! I yelled over the torture truck engine. Where the hell are we stopping, man? I'm starting to get a headache.
What? Randy yelled back. He pulled the sunglasses off.
Is Randy an old man?
Yes. What? Okay, that's what we're going to do from now on. What? Randy yelled back. He pulled the sunglasses off his face, acting like it would help him hear me better. 1 second, man. We're almost there. No, it says where's almost there. God damn it. Okay. 1 second, man. Where's almost there? I sighed and shook my head before looking out the passenger side window. Randy couldn't take care of a car to save his life, and his dad knew that. I think that's why he had bought himself a new Ford Focus and gave Mr. Football Captain his shitty F-150. After a few more minutes, Randy killed the engine and slapped the wheel like he was finishing up a drum solo, where this wheel can fit so many air in it, before jumping out of the driver's side door. Wait, he slapped the steering wheel. I was picturing him outside slapping the wheel. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Smacking it like Jane's booty? I looked
to the... Slaps the car. You can fit so many drum solos in here. Is that still a meme when this comes out?
Maybe. He slapped Jane in the face. You could fit so many teeth in that mouth. I looked to the pair in the back seat, and they just met me with a shrug.
All right.
So we've driven out to the lake.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that Randy is just Bernie Sanders, just an old Jewish man. What? I can't do a fucking Bernie impression. Fuck that. I guess we're here, Troy finally said, unbuckling his seatbelt. Troy was a big guy, mostly because his mom cooked like an old Italian lady.
How does an Italian, old Italian lady
You can
cook?
Always be racist against Italian. You can always make fun of Italians. It's never racist.
They don't care.
So, how does an old Italian lady cook? Has anybody here ever cooked one?
You got to layer them on top of each other with a slice of pasta and cheese in between it. Hmm.
But there's already pasta, and there's so much pasta inside them, and so much ragu inside them.
It.
It's like
they're basically calzones.
Yes. Whenever I was over for dinner, it was always spaghetti, fettuccine Alfredo, meatballs, homemade pizza, and maybe some frozen veggies on the side.
All right, so the lolly is racist.
Mm.
You have to be extra mean to him.
Italian, not racist. His weight didn't exactly make him the most popular guy in school, but Randy made sure that anyone who tried to fuck with our friend got a talking to.
Ooh.
Hey, you were messing with my friend. I ate a lot of pasta.
Hey, I'm going to get my mom after you. She's going to smack you within an inch of your life. She's going to hit you with the wooden spoon.
I followed Troy out and heard Jane's door slam behind her. I watched as Randy and Troy started carrying firewood from the back of the truck to a small fire pit on the gravelly shore of the lake, three half-cut logs circling it like when the four of us went to Camp Kupagani as kids. I was honestly amazed that Randy had set this up for us, but he did say he wanted to do something nostalgic for our last summer together. That's the one thing I liked about Randy. The guy was an asshole, but he never really changed from that mop-headed dork in middle school, who freaked out over losing his filigree angel card to some neck-bearded Friday Night Magic lolliot, you goddamn nerd.
Hmm.
Nerd. Camp Kupagani is a real place in Chicago, Illinois.
Uh-oh. So now we know this is in Chicago, so we have to judge accordingly.
I read ahead.
Does this take place in?
I read ahead on accident.
Does it?
And there's a shit ton of pandering about to come up. Just keep
going. Oh my god. Oh,
some dinosaurs
shit.
Came out. and they had feathers.
God damn it. No, but the, oh my God, fucking, fucking shit. The amount of pandering here.
All right.
So much, so much.
The sound of a few birds calling to each other were the loudest sounds out there, followed by the sound of small waves of the lake lapping at the rocky shore. It was completely different from Romeroville, where Lollipop Chainsaw took place. No, where the sounds of traffic and bass boosted rap almost everywhere. Were almost everywhere. Peaceful. It was utterly peaceful, and I couldn't help but smile to myself. I turned to Jane, and I could tell she felt the same way. Randy's voice finally broke the silence when he yelled for us to carry our weight. That's just like an old man. You love birds, carry your weight! Oh, wait, no, Bernie Sanders, I guess? You love birds, stop canoodling and carry your weight!
No, I think that Bernie Sanders would want to carry the weights for you.
That's true, that's true. Who am I to judge? And it didn't take long for us to grab the cooler from behind the tailgate. I would have asked what was in the thing if I hadn't contributed a bottle of Tito's to the booze the Gray Yeti held.
Yeti in all caps.
Instead of a blue Yeti.
I see that. I see what you did there.
Make a Gray Yeti. Too cool. Doesn't even keep things cool.
I'm Dead Pallet. I drink Tito's vodka.
It wasn't long after that when the sun set, and Jane dumped half a bottle of lighter fluid onto the firewood. Everyone stood back as Randy handed me a barbecue lighter from the glove box of his Ford. So is our narrator Jeff? Because I thought it was the...
I think it's...
Yeah, maybe it is...
We really don't know.
Maybe it is third bullet... Keith, yeah.
Keith!
Okay, so we are... Okay. Narrator is third bully.
I am become Jeff, the killer. I am no longer Keith.
Oh, it is Keith.
Look at me.
Yeah, it's Keith.
I am the Keith.
Look at the teeth in my mouth.
Teeth mouth Keith.
Teeth mouth Keith.
Yeah, so I am happy that everyone is starting to get red-pilled on how good Tito's vodka is, because it's, like, popping up at every bar now.
Now, don't good put any everyone. Pills in people's vodka, though.
No. Unless you really want to get loose.
God damn it.
Get loosey-goosey.
Unless you want to go to prison. Vikes.
No, you just give your friends a few Vikes.
Jesus Christ. God.
Handful of Vikes. Thanks, buddy, I said sarcastically, making my three oldest friends snicker. I carefully held the lighter out after striking it and pulled back the second the fire flared from the chunk of store-bought birch.
So we are getting... Little the story old. Is telling it from the bully's perspective.
Yes.
What a...
Are we going to get a... Basically, I'm wondering if the angle of this rewrite is to make the bully sympathetic and to just tell from, like, no, Jeff's a crazy asshole.
What a bold typically... new idea that nobody did a year before.
No, but the little overly verbose.
Well, I mean, it is the Lolliot.
It doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't well, feel overly verbose to me.
It's labeling itself as Ashcan Horror as realistic, and then it says... I pulled back the second the fire flared from the chunk of store-bought birch. I don't...
Yeah?
What, you don't think that happens in real life?
No, but that's not how I would phrase it.
Well, how would you say it? You would say, the fire burnt up real good. Fire done and up the wood.
Yeah, that's closer. That's closer to how I would phrase it.
He handed me the ladder, then I done lit it.
Yeah. I done stirred at it laughing. Oh, man. We're supposed to be making fun of the Lolliot, not each other. Okay, continue.
Fuck, Keith. You okay, man? Jane asked, her half-drunk bottle of water at the ready.
Don't douse me with your saliva. Ugh. Yeah, I'm fine, I said, reaching up to make sure my eyebrows were still there. I looked over to her and snickered. Don't think Deja Blue's going to help stop a forest fire, though. Jane narrowed her eyes and tossed the last of the water in my face. Then we both started laughing. That was how I became
water out there.
That was how I became Mr. Waterface.
I then became Jeff the Killer and killed her.
Yeah. I then became Wet Mouth.
Wet Mouth.
Get a room, Troy scoffed, getting the bags of
God,
food.
He is an old man.
They're all old men.
Is Jane an old man?
Yes. Jane is just a little old man in a wig.
Get a room, Troy scoffed, getting the bags of food. I don't know why I'm laughing. There's nothing funny. Getting the bags of food we got with the wood out of the floor of the truck. I went over and helped him out a bit while Randy just sat and stared at the fire with Jane. Fire, school. Once I passed the cooler, Randy raised up his hand.
I'm having a heart attack, said Randy.
Yo, dude, beer me. That's what the kids say.
This isn't current year, because if you're asking for beer, it's like, hey, pass me the gluten-free beer.
True.
Artisanal, small batch, microbrew, gluten-free. He called out, the fire shining in his hazel eyes. I shook my head and grabbed a couple of buds out of the Yeti before handing one to him and sitting next to him.
You can drop the bad 80s movie jock act, dude, Jane said from her own pod. As Troy helped her get a couple of marshmallows onto a stick he got from nearby. We're in the middle of nowhere. It's not like Brandy is going to see you hanging out with a bunch of nerds.
Who is Brandy?
Brandy the killer?
That's my gender-swapped Jeff the Killer OC.
Wait a minute. Brandy and Randy. Randy's smile fell from his face, and he popped open the beer before downing it quickly. Ugh. I knew in an instant what the next words out of his mouth would be, and I took the first move.
Fuck. And we did. We all did.
Yep.
Just went
right there. Fuck. Fire.
Except for Jane, who just watched.
Fire. Jane watched.
We all got on top of a fire in a giant orgy. It was like cooking Italian. It was like cooking Italian ladies. It was like cooking a bunch of Italian ladies.
Okay, so are we creating a new term? Is the old Italian lady when a bunch of people get on top of each other in a fire to have sex?
Yes.
Sure. Why not?
The Italian mother. That's the term.
Like an A-frame, but significantly more complicated.
Fucking hell.
Like a police officer shows up, just like boops their lights, like boop, and then like shows up, and there's like a bunch of burn victims there, like with the fire out, acting like nothing happens. Like, have you guys been doing the old Italian lady? It's like, no, officer.
Gosh, officer, we don't know what you mean.
We don't know what you mean.
No. Yeah,
you all look really, really kind of crispy there. We just had an accident.
Oh, I walked into a burning door this morning, that's all.
Just imagine the stormtroopers.
I just
fucking burn Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru. Yep. Oh, give him the Italian lady.
Space Italians. Fuck.
Jesus Christ.
It's the space Italian, sir. Put up the shield. Okay.
Beepity boppity boopity 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 boopity. Fucking tangent we've ever done. Please read.
No, you just get in a time machine, go 50 years in the future, and then just like the entire moon is a giant moon base populated by Italians.
Oh, God.
And you're just like, what fucking happened in the intervening 50 years? To where no, it's the Italian president, the Italian prime minister just got ahead of Trump with his own space force.
I'm just picturing you're on the moon in a spacesuit walking through the lunar dust in zero gravity or low gravity, and you go, my God, how did this happen? Meanwhile, over in the space colony, the moon colony, a window opens, guy in just the undershirt pops his head out and goes, hey, shut up out there!
An undershirt and also a space helmet.
Yeah.
Somehow his midsection can survive the vacuum of space.
Oh man, that's I love this. This is a great tangent. Fuck, I'm sorry, man. I said, patting my best friend's shoulder. He stopped drinking and looked at me. And that's about the time that Jay and Troy caught on. Both of them stood up and moved to console Randy. And we can tell that he was holding back tears at this point.
And that's about the time Jane and Troy caught on. I don't get it. He said, looking back into the fire, I did everything right. I treated her like a queen, but she just...
My queen. You're beautiful.
You know what he did? Since this is current year, they broke up earlier this year. He was just chasing her around the halls in school going, my queen, my queen.
And spitting.
So she broke up with him.
Understandable.
Yeah. So, hey, I said, putting my arm around him.
No, don't worry about it, man. There's plenty of fish in the sea, and you're going to Northwestern next year, right? You'll find someone better than her.
Randy leaned back.
A nice old Jewish man.
Can you just do it as Watto from the Star Wars prequels?
I thought that was what I was doing.
Hey, don't worry about it, man. There's plenty of fish in the sea. You want the pod race?
It's not racist if I'm an alien.
Randy leaned back and looked at all of us before wiping his eyes on his sleeve, and that was how he became
Eye Sleeve. The killer. Everyone just turns into Jeff the Killer in the story.
Can we just really, I know it's been said to death, but really that's what George Lucas thought everyone liked about Star Wars was racist caricatures.
Oh man.
Funny animated characters.
Oh god.
It's funny to look back at the original movies and try to spot what the characters were actually based on. Like, you know, like, oh wait, okay. Yeah. I see what Wookiees are. Okay.
And then you see Uganda. It's so obvious.
Oh my gosh, it's true.
And you see Lando Calrissian, and you're like, mm-hmm, yep, supposed to be a black man. I get it.
Clever makeup.
Clever makeup. God. Little did you know, for Lando Calrissian.
George Lucas himself. Actually it's played just Lando.
Just
I feel guys, so bad right now.
Guys, this is like the third time blackface has
come. God damn it. It's not our fault if George Lucas is a racist old man who wanted to have a cameo appearance in his old only film, or his, in his own film, as a black
man. His only film.
His only film, Lucas. Star Wars. As far as I'm concerned.
Oh, Lolliot sent us this. He worked really hard on it, and we're just fucking, oh my god.
His story wasn't so full of racist tropes, it wouldn't be leading us down this aisle.
Dude. And so I think what we're dealing with here is, you know, there's this breakup between Randy and Brandy, or their ship name, Brandy.
Oh my god.
Be Randy?
Brandy.
Brand.
Do you still be Randy?
So there's a breakup. They're consoling him.
They're probably like out in the woods doing this as like, I got to get away from everything. The breakup is really bad. Do you guys want to come like have fun / kind of console me through this? That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Can you guys, would you be down to just have a, you know, have an Italian lady in the woods?
Guys. Okay. You're my two best friends. Can you find the loosest girl in high school and bring her along with us?
Ooh.
Someone who never says no. Someone who just...
Oh.
Gotta get old no-no Colleen out here.
Oh, God. No-no Colleen.
Call her no-no. Yeah, because she never
no,
says
no. No-no Colleen.
God damn it. How many creepypasta OCs are we going to make in this episode? No, no, Colleen. A story read by...
It's not our fault. It's so easy. I can process this shit and really formulaic. It's so easy.
I had sex with the loosest girl in high school. Now I wish I
wish
had. I had sex with the loosest girl in high school. Now I wish I used protection. If you guys don't... You guys mind if we talk about something else? He asked, tossing his empty beer can into the Walmart bag we had for trash. Mm. They're leaving only footprints. Good.
Good. And Walmart bags are made to hold trash, so...
I hadn't seen Randy this messed up since the divorce.
His parents' divorce. Oh. Okay, sorry.
Okay. His parents hadn't even talked to him about it until the weekend before the papers were finalized. Randy's dad asked if he could stay at one of our places, and Troy volunteered, but we all stayed with him for about a week.
I'm picturing Randy's dad being the one asking if he can stay with the kids.
That's what I thought.
Have an extra bed. Yeah.
Stay with you for a bit and let this whole divorce thing blow over.
You kids are cool, right? You want beer? I can buy you beer.
Randy's dad? Are you Obama?
Now listen.
You ruined this for me.
Michelle and I, you're going to take a little bit of a break.
I can't go home. I can't go to the White House. I'm not welcome anywhere. Now, what I want you to do is find the loosest girl in your school. tell her Obama sent you.
Again, this is taking place in Illinois.
So. It is fucking...
Oh, God damn it.
Cabrini Green, back from the grave. Stay with him for about a week. I think the breakup was the real reason Randy asked the three of us to come camping with him on the lake that weekend. And even if he told us the truth, we would have said yes. We were his friends, and we knew that college was going to make it hard for us to keep in contact. Randy was going to Northwestern. Troy had gotten a scholarship to ICC. Jane had applied to a few places out of state, but I was heading to JJC for 2 years before switching over to SIU to get a European history degree.
Okay, that is way too many abbreviations for things that we don't know.
Well, I mean, ICC, I know what that one is.
International Clown College.
No, I was gonna say Insane Clown College, but yeah.
That's better. And then Junior Clown College.
Yes. Yes.
SIU? University? I don't know.
Supplementary
Income University.
They just teach you how to apply for
extra part time jobs.
For
this is how you get
the SNAP
Uber
program. Come here, we'll teach you how to get food stamps. No problem.
Yeah.
Food stamps.
There's no God damn it, guys. We are too goofy tonight. There's no real way for us to keep in close contact if anything major got in the way. And I knew that I would have came along at the drop of a dime.
To be serious for one moment, I do. That is a nice little detail of friends all going to different colleges and then the worry about losing connection and not being able to talk a lot. I totally had the same thing happen to me when I went to college. And then even when I left college, it was like, well, shit, I'm barely going to talk to these friends ever again. So that's a nice little detail.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Walmart, though, forklift operator, my sense of humor may hurt your feelings or offend you. I suggest you buckle up, buttercup. I change for no one.
That's what Dead Palette wants written on his tombstone, by the way, everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's what it says on the shirt I'm currently wearing.
Gonna get that tattooed on your groin. We went through the usual list of topics that the four of us usually talked about on Fridays, starting with the new cards Troy had gotten from the draft tournament he was in the week before. We all played Magic still, but Troy was the biggest fanboy out of all of us. He would have sold his soul for a Black Lotus and swore that he would be buried with his best decks like some sort of pharaoh. Hmm. Out of habit, we had all bought the decks we would take to the card shop on any other Friday night, and Randy's expression lightened up when he and Troy beat Jane and I in a game of two-headed giant.
Hmm. When he now, and Troy
this, of
beat
course,
Jane.
It isn't realistic because no women play Magic.
No.
Not in current year. It should have been... What should it be? It's not Pokemon Go anymore. What else would it be?
Pokemon Go's kind of really? Regaining an audience, yeah.
It wouldn't be Death Garden.
Did you know that you can trade Pokemon in Pokemon Go now?
Wow, amazing.
I think you can do it every other Pokemon game.
Cool. After that, I brought that Mr. Davis, our English teacher, had told me I was going to be the debate team captain. I brought up that Mr. Davis, our English teacher, had told me I was going to be the debate team captain, and Randy nearly threw my back out with how hard he slapped it. I fell directly into the fire. I became Jeff the Killer.
I became an Italian lady. Italian mother.
What if Jeff the Killer was Italian? I don't know. He knew I had been gunning for it since Jeremy Pettis got expelled last year.
That sounds like a guy who would be on the bidet team.
Be on the bidet team? Jeremy, you know this is an all-girl league. It's current year.
Oh, gotta get that varsity jacket for the bidet team. Really important.
Oh, God. The bidet team has chosen to take a knee.
Take a squat. Everyone huddle up and take a squat.
Since Jeremy Pettis got expelled last year after getting caught with Lily Benson on her knees in the back of the library, so I was partially right. That's why he wanted to get onto the bidet team. But he never thought I'd get it. I got both. I told him how I was so happy to have a friend who had so much confidence in me, and he just laughed and said how he could see the sarcasm floating around each word. I couldn't help but laugh at how stupid that sounded. So what do we think of the story structure so far? A little bit flowery.
A little slow. I originally was disagreeing with Ed Pallet about how it was a bit verbose, but now that it's been kind of repeating paragraph to paragraph, I do see what you mean. It's not that the details are unnecessary, they're just too specific, I think.
So basically,
and the specificity is kind of dragging this on.
You want Lolliot to stop writing? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I think what he's doing is awful, and it's negative, and I don't appreciate it in the community. I'm glad he's doing this. But yeah, I would say that that's a main criticism. It's kind of dragging on. We're getting exposition at a decent rate, but the characterization is like, it's just so deep that I'm like, where's this story going?
Yeah, it's fine to have those kinds of details. I think those details are easier to include in present tense because it's much more train of thought, right? But this is like a story being told in retrospect, and presumably something traumatic is going to happen. So are all of these details necessary? Are these things that you would tell to everyone if you're... Is this what you would tell in a police report? It's like, let me tell you about Troy's...
Jeremy Pettis.
Jeremy Pettis.
And no, Caroline in the library.
No, Caroline was... Colleen was definitely...
Colleen.
Colleen was definitely not allowed on the bidet team.
I'm
not using the bidet she used.
God damn it.
I would be fine with these details if they were in character dialogue as kind of just tangents of these friends talking back and forth, because they are going to go off to college. They're going to reminisce about funny shit that's happened over the past 4 years. So I could see that. But yeah, the asides as pure just exposition that we're being told directly is kind of could do without.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I was doing just fine before I met you. I drank too much and that's an issue, but I'm okay.
Cool.
Nobody gets this joke. Okay.
It's a Frisky Dingo reference, I know.
Yeah. I checked my phone as we started talking about how Troy's cousin was going to try his hand at DMing some Dungeons & Dragons, and I saw that it was already midnight. I had to interrupt, mostly because of something Jane and I had talked about at the checkout line at Walmart, while Troy and Randy were drooling over the new magic set that had come out.
Okay, yeah, that's way too many references to magic.
I want to think of that.
It's beginning to feel like a self-insert at this point.
I want to think of that as like a children's magic set. Like, there's just, oh man, you could pull a rabbit out of a hat with this one.
You can make a coin disappear.
Yeah. My grandpa's going to love this.
There's no problem with having them all being kind of united around a common interest. Like, there's no issue with Magic the Gathering or Dungeons & Dragons being in the story at all.
Right.
But it just keeps coming back to the point where I feel like, if I didn't know that this was about, if I didn't know what Jeff the Killer was, and I didn't think I knew where this story was going, I would think, are they just going to talk about magic in Dungeons & Dragons this whole time? Because it's just been so, like, well, it's such a motif at this point.
There was also the ghost story that we read, not on here, but about I met a person who played magic, and then it was like a story structured around Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And so you knew from the title, from the get-go, everything was going to be about Magic the Gathering. And so this is just like suddenly about Magic the Gathering.
Well, yeah.
You guys are going to be in for a surprise when they open a pack of magic cards and pull a Jeff card and he pops out of it and kills them. So
no, it's Jeff the Killer would be a Yu-Gi-Oh card, let's be honest.
What, Jeff Eyes White Killer? Is that?
Hyper-realistic eyes.
Somebody fan art that shit. Put it on the fucking Yu-Gi-Oh card template, please.
Go to every Yu-Gi-Oh wiki you can find and add an entry for that card.
We are actively asking you to vandalize every week.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's just Yu-Gi-Oh. So.
It's just Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah. Jane, I said without warning, cutting Randy off in the middle of a joke. It's time. Jane cracked a huge smile at that and looked at the other two, then pulled out a shotgun and shot them in the face. So, boys,
oh, okay.
She started.
Just keep going. That's fine.
I am. I've been getting fucking like two sentences this entire time. Fuck you.
So, boys, she said, pulling down her pants.
You've heard of no, Colleen. So, boys, she started, leaning forward and rubbing her hands together.
Soy boys, she started, leaning forward.
Have either of you heard the stories about this part of the woods? Oh, is Jeff the Killer going to be an urban legend?
Have you heard the story of the Jeffrey Woods that we're in right now?
Jeff White Woods.
Oh, God damn it, Jane, not again. Troy called out. The last time you told us about one of these, I couldn't sleep without the light on for a month. I chuckled as I remembered how Jane told us about the pale, long-limbed monster that sat at the end of a couple's bed and whispered for the husband to kill his wife.
Is that a rake reference?
No, you're crazy.
Dude, calm down, Randy said, taking another swig of from his fourth beer of the night. All the shit Jane talks about are just made up. All the shit Jane talks about are just made up.
He's drunk. Give him a break.
All the shit Jane talks about are made up.
Everything Jane does is a mystery. But...
And that dude in the suit and the clown asshole. This is not good dialogue.
Well, I think what we're going for here is the... This is like when the executives come into the movie production and say, drop in some lines about our shared cinematic universe.
I wouldn't say it's bad dialogue, but given the setup and the buildup, it does feel stilted and kind of put upon. Like, if they had started with this, like, I almost wonder if this story shouldn't have just started with them already at the camp around the fire, just talking. And this is what we open with?
The question I have is this intentional that this is like them talking cringy? Because they are playing Magic the Gathering, so I'm assuming they're all socially inept.
And they are in the Jeff the Killer story.
Oh, no.
But I'm trying to figure out, I know the rake, and I know Slender Man is the guy in the suit, but I'm trying to remember a creepypasta about a clown asshole.
Bubby the Clown.
Really? That was about an asshole in clown makeup?
It's clearly he does birthdays.
Like, was the nose, like, the ball sack, or what? What was?
Oh wait, would it be, Laughing Jack? No, he's not really a clown.
Maybe I don't know.
All right, so is this whatever. Me now?
Yes.
Doesn't matter, man. Every time we talk about horror stuff, I can't sleep. You might say that I are no sleep. No. And I'm not and I'm not exactly comfortable with how we're going to be sleeping tonight anyway. Oh.
Guys, aren't the real no sleeps the friends we made along the way?
That makes no sense.
No, they're not.
Makes more sense than all the things all the shit Jane talks about are made up.
Jane, don't afraid of anything.
It's true.
So
the truth have come out. Does Jane is talk shit?
So, Jane interrupted, you shouldn't have a problem with a little fireside spooky story, since you're already afraid of a bear eating you, or whatever, right? Troy looked at me, expecting me to say something in his defense. I just shrugged. From what Jane had told me in the store, I wanted to know more about this. Since Troy resigned himself to not sleeping tonight, Jane went on. Anyway, years ago, she paused for suspense, there was this family who lived out this way, close to
I think that's a typo of Chinatown.
Close to Chinatown. A couple with two boys.
Oh my god. That would explain Lou. God damn it.
A couple of boys, big white butt boys, named Jeff and Lou, who were new to this area. So the boys meet up with these a couple of bullies who pulled out
knives on.
These a couple of bullies, eh? Pull the knives out on the shit.
Now who wants to lay on top of each other in the fire? Come on.
I can't tell if these are grammar errors or if they're all supposed to be drunk, but they didn't really. There's no characterization to say, and that at that point Jane was five beers in, slurring her speech. Yeah, I think it's just typos.
No, they're just typos.
Okay. I really feel like the story should have just started here, as opposed to all the preamble, because I could buy into, oh, there's four friends. It's the end of their senior year of high school, and they're doing one last camping trip and telling scary stories, and some of them are uncomfortable with it, but they're going to do it anyway. Like, that's all cool with me.
Yeah, and instead of talking about magic, use the... So, like, you start at the scene of, like, his parents were getting divorced, and then it's like, Jane is like, they're like, okay, we need to change the subject. And Jane is just like, hey, how about spoopy stories?
Yeah. We all remember, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Let's do some of that shit right now. And by the way, we're like almost halfway through the story. And I feel like we could just start here.
You know, and my favorite part of Are You Afraid of the Dark is when they put the sand on the fire and it went up higher. Ooh. Oh my God, that was the coolest thing. Was I the only one as a kid who would like, when they did that, I would like mime throwing the sand on the fire with them.
Yes,
probably.
In the comments,
bullshit.
Again, let us know how alone Brandon was in his childhood antics.
Well, I'm glad that we got comments being like, "No, I also had guilty tummy aches."
Did you ever get a tummy ache from throwing sand on the fire? Let us know.
Miming throwing sand on the fire. Wait. How old are these kids? I asked, a s'more in one hand and the bottle of vodka I brought in the other. You see, you could have just got s'more flavored vodka and just like eliminated the mess at this point. I don't do that, by the way. It tastes fucking awful.
I must be getting old because I'm thinking of like, oh my God, eating straight sugar with vodka is a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's bad. Like middle schoolers. What the fuck are middle schoolers doing with knives? Troy asked, his mouth half full of chocolate and marshmallow.
Guys, let Jane... Jesus, Jane! Is that what they teach you in bidet club or whatever the fuck? Guys...
What do you do in bidet club?
It's self-explanatory.
On the bidet team.
You know, it's like synchronized swimming.
No, so like... Are there like two bidets across from each other, and then like whoever gets clean quicker? is...
Yeah, there's cameras in the bidets that are monitoring the amount of filth.
Good God.
There's instant replay. There's little graphics like they do in NFL.
Oh my God.
Oh, man.
She couldn't get fully clean there. She needed to use a toilet paper afterwards, so that's going to be points deducted.
There's a hell. We're going to it. Jesus
Christ. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not going to hell. I'm going to Valhalla.
You're going to Mormon Valhalla.
Mormon Valhalla.
It's really lame because you can't fight or drink. You just sit in a big hall and do nothing.
Guys, well, you get to marry more than one Valkyrie, though. Guys, let Janie tell the fucking story. Oh, is this written to us? Guys, let Janie tell the fucking story.
Guys, shut up about bidet tea.
I would not be surprised if the Lolly was like, okay, I'm halfway through the story, and those idiots are probably on like the 80th tangent at this point.
Randy said. He was on the edge of his seat. The four of us had been bullied in middle school, so I'm guessing he was hoping for some sort of revenge plot. He wasn't disappointed. And as Jane went on, she talked about how Jeff had almost killed the bullies with their own knives, keeping them specific to each one. She talked about how Lou, and we should point out it's L-E-W in the story.
It is, yeah,
like
not
Lewis
L-I-U.
With a W, had taken the rap for his brother, and how he had gotten sent to juvie.
No, Jeff is just like...
It's like, I know what you did. Lou is like, I know what you did, Jeff, but I'll take the rap for masturbating in front of those women. Jeez.
They weren't looking at your face, so... how he got sent to juvie, and how the bullies came back and nearly killed Jeff at some little kid's birthday party. She was graphic about it, too. Talked about how they pour bleach onto Jeff's skin, and how Jeff set one of them on fire. I thought it was the other way around.
Not in this story.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got it. I figured it out.
See, in this version... Everyone but Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Ah, sort of like Teeth Mouth.
You're just going through New York and like everyone is just web-slinging their way across the skies. And then Peter Parker's just down on the ground. It's like, yep.
Now I have take the subway now, I guess.
He just kicks a rock
average
with his hand.
Average man does whatever an average man can. There's a penny on the ground. He notices it and picks it up. Because...
Watch out!
Yeah. He could get hit
by a bus.
He's got
no spider powers.
Yeah. Is he strong? No.
It's just in the universe where they find out a way to... Like when you're a child, you get bit by radioactive spiders to give you the power. They just discover that getting bit by radioactive spiders gives you the power, but he has some sort of allergy birth defect where he can get bitten by the spider, so everyone has powers but him.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
There is something fucking ingrained and cursed in Jeff the Killer fiction. If you ever get a group of people reviewing it, they can never focus on the fucking story,
and they go
off on the most random-ass tangents. It happens every time.
By the way, the random ass tangents is my favorite high school bidet team.
Okay, you get points for that one. That was really good. That was
are they on bidets and also debating?
Yes!
Yes! Oh, shit.
What, dibidet team? I don't know. So you see, the 3/5 compromise wasn't really...
Nuclear proliferation will only be stopped by
Wyvernhaven.
Wait, why am I expected to debate against Barack Obama? Now listen, don't ruin this for me.
I'm a constitutional lawyer.
You only have the controls for the other person's bidet.
Yes.
Lolliot, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for this fucking episode.
We've invented a new sport. Oh, man.
You only have so much water to spray up the other person's ass, so you have to use it judiciously.
Mm-hmm.
Then, Jane started to wrap up. Jeff woke up in the hospital. When Jeff woke up in the hospital, he saw his face. It was completely fucked up. White as snow. His hair was black like a crow's feathers. And his lips were as red as blood.
Ba-ba-bum.
Bleach wouldn't make his hair black. Troy shot back, completely unfazed by the story so far. Oh, sorry, let me read that. Bleach wouldn't make his hair black. Troy shot back, completely unfazed by the story so far. Jane, whoever told you the story didn't know how to make shit scary. Ooh, meta burn.
Is Troy the nostalgia critic now? Bleach would not make his hair black.
Come on!
What does this story expect from us? Fine then, Jane snapped at our bigger friend. Let's see how you deal with the other stories I've heard about Jeff. Oh. They're going to tell all the various stories about Jeff the Killer.
What do you mean, other stories? Randy asked, his voice slurred as he tossed another beer can into the bag. Like, is it just like a bunch of things you heard at school or online or what, Jane?
Wait, you guys have actually never heard of Jeff the Killer? She asked up, which we all shook our heads to. You're kidding, right? I've heard all sorts of stuff about him. Some people say he's some sort of cyber demon who attacks and kills anyone who says his name. So this is like intentionally mixing up icon pastas, I think.
Mixing up Jeff with Doom 2.
Or Zalgo or something, I don't know. She lurched at Troy, whose fear finally broke through. I've heard that the bullies tried to threaten him with a flare gun, and it went off as he was kicked their asses.
He was a kick of the asses, hey.
He stood up and angry.
Damn it.
So the left side of his face is scarred and burnt. I took a step back, remembering how hot the fire was when I first started it. But each time, every story ends the same.
Ooh. It gets deleted from wherever it's posted.
It goes on Spin Pasta if you remember to post it there.
We waited for Jane to keep going, looking to each other before Jane pulled a pocket knife from her purse and stood in front of Randy. She circumcised him with a flick of the wrist.
Jeff always kills his father and his mother. She kneeled down, her face inches away from Randy's and her knife pointed right at his throat. And he tells them to go to sleep.
Oh my God.
And with that, I poured the entire bottle of cheap vodka on Randy's head.
You asshole.
Don't do that near
that.
Fire.
That too. That's fucking like basically paint thinner.
Jeez. It's also not cheap vodka. Is this a different bottle of vodka than the Tito's? Did he put cheap vodka into a Tito's bottle?
Yes.
I mean, it's not Grey Goose, so I guess it's real comparatively cheap. I don't know.
Maybe it was vodka that he had already drank and it came back up and he put it into the bottle. So.
It's backwash vodka.
Yeah, he just barfed into the bottle.
None of us could help but laugh, and we were thankful that Randy was a fun drunk. Even Troy looked more relaxed, even if he was looking out into the woods every 5 seconds. It didn't take long for us to start talking about hitting the hay and who would set up the tent with me, since I was the least drunk out of the four of us. As Jane grabbed a bucket out of the back of the truck for water, Troy and I started to set up the four-person tent Randy's dad had gotten for us. Randy had started to try and help us, but he wound up falling on his ass one too many times, so we just told him to sit and try and sober up a bit before bed.
I'm just gonna go take a piss, okay? He asked, like we were his parents, before heading off towards some bushes without even waiting for an answer. It didn't take long for the three of us to finish setting up camp for the night, and I felt myself drifting off as the three of us waited for Randy to get back. As Troy started to go into detail about his newest D&D campaign, looked off in the direction our buddy stumbled off in.
Who, Troy or...
I think...
Keith.
I think it would be he looked off, but it could easily be I looked off, so...
Yeah, gotta fix that.
Is there going to be some sort of subversion of what we're expecting?
Of course.
I don't know where this is going.
Wait a minute. If you expect a subversion, then if it's not subverted, are your expectations subverted?
Things get very inverted. Hey, guys, Randy's been gone for a while. I'm going to make sure he hasn't fallen into the lake or something. I stood and started to walk down the gravelly shore, pulled out my phone and turned on the flashlight as I headed into the foliage. The dark green leaves of the trees and bushes were so bunched up that I couldn't see more than a foot in front of me, and my brain started to fuck with me as thoughts of Jane's killer story mixed with my own exhaustion. Every time the leaves rustled, and every time I took a step, I felt they were coming from someone following me as my head darted around to try and find Randy. Hey, asshole. You've been pissing for like an hour, man. You get lost?
So, quick question. I lolly it. You son of a bitch. Because we're going to be extra mean to you. Didn't Jane start this off by saying stories about these woods?
Like, yeah.
I was waiting for Jeff to be tied to the woods somehow in the story, but it doesn't seem to have happened.
Well, it might soon, because Randy's gone. Remember Jeff got him in the woods?
Jeff got him.
Jeff's hanging him from a tree.
My foot pushed against something hard, and I pulled back quickly to keep from tripping over whatever it was. Out of reflex, I moved the light to get a better look at what I thought was a rock or a fallen log, and I had to clasp my hand over my mouth tight to keep from screaming out. Randy was laying face down in the dirt, his eyes wide open, and a long slash cut into his mouth. From the back of the old white shirt he had on was a large red stain, and in the center was a carving knife. I felt my heartbeat faster and faster as I started to step back, only to see the bush. There's the bush.
The bush doing 9/11.
The bush.
Hey, what are you doing here? Don't ruin this for me. I just love doing 9/11s.
God damn it. No, don't make this a thing, please. I can't take it. The bush in behind. Wait, only to see the bush in behind of Randy's body move and the white of a long sleeve shirt poke out from the levy wall? Dude, lolly it. Is this on purpose? Because this is getting like difficult to read at this point.
Were you drunk while you were reading?
I would not blame you if you were. I really wouldn't. But yeah, needs like a pair of eyes, a second pair of eyes other than ours to do this. Anyway,
limitless eyes.
I didn't wait to see anymore. I turned tail and rushed back to the campfire, screaming at the top of my lungs. Okay, just to recap. Lungs. He walked out to find Randy, found Randy stabbed with the knife still in there, and is bailing now. Okay.
Well, I just want to point out, he found him face down with his eyes wide and his mouth cut.
That's the way
he
likes it.
But he's face down, so how did he know?
No, I think they just mean like their face drooping.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
I don't know.
Like, I really don't know at this point.
Troy and Jane ran up to me asking what had happened. But all I could do was yell at them to get in the truck. They didn't move. I think they thought it was some sort of joke Randy and I had cooked up after I found him. I didn't wait for them. fuck 'em. I ran to the truck and only stopped to pull out my phone and start dialing 911. As I slammed the door to Randy's truck, I heard Jane scream. Troy's body fell to the ground as the same knife that was stuck in Randy's body sliced his neck. And the guy holding it was just staring at Jane. The guy was lanky, and his white hoodie was covered in huge splatterings of blood across the front. I jumped out of the car and reached into the back, pulling out one of the leftover chunks of firewood we had brought.
So we have our reveal. We have our killer. We have our slasher.
And it's Jeff.
Movie villain, and it's Jeff. And
yeah, it's just exactly. Yeah, it's exactly what you were expecting. Not... Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't have to invert expectations, but I think what the story is attempting to do is make us feel for the victims of Jeff, but
I can't help but wonder why it's in the woods, though. But yeah.
What is the object of going, well, the bullies aren't actually the bullies, they're just random people, but they also get killed.
What's
like,
the
are
deal?
We supposed to believe that Jeff then like told everyone else, no, they bullied me, that's why I killed them. Like I don't understand the point of that.
There may be a reveal at the end that brings it all together, so we don't really know at this point. And I will say, so far, better than the original, which is not something you can say for all Jeff the Killer rewrites.
That's true. This is better written than the original, absolutely. There is more characterization. There's a bit too much in some parts. But it's difficult to judge Jeff the Killer rewrites because you're constantly just like, okay, how does this shape up the original? It's clearly referencing this. It's like you can't view it in the vacuum, which is unfortunate, but it's true.
I think that whenever you're writing a Jeff the Killer rewrite, you're kind of inviting that criticism, though.
Oh, sure.
No way, no way, no way, no way, Jane said, her voice getting more and more quiet as she stepped away from the killer. You're not real. You're just a story. You can't be here. Troy. Jane looked towards our friend, blood pooling from his open wound. Troy, get up, please. It's just a prank, right? It's just a prank, bro. Just get up, please. Please. I inched closer to the guy with a knife as he took a few steps towards my last living friend.
I couldn't figure out why Jeff the Killer had come to kill us in the woods. Then I saw the camera in his hand. I looked more at his face more clearly. It was Logan Paul. But anyway, timely references.
Buy a t-shirt. The guy didn't say a word as he flipped the knife in his hand, gripping it so that the blade was facing down. He moved his hand up. The first thing coming to my mind was the scene of Norman Bates stabbing Marion in the shower, and I felt adrenaline burst through me as I ran at the man who killed my best friend. I felt the wood almost fly from my hand with how hard I slammed it into the back of his head and slammed it down on his nose when I saw that he still had the knife in his hand. I heard Jane fall to the ground, gasping for breath as she stared at the blood flowing from the guy's nose, then back up to me. So he just whacked him one.
Yes. It reminds me of another Jeff the Killer rewrite. To take the hood off his head. Oh, he's wearing a hoodie, but does he also have like a Klansman hood? Because that would explain a lot. They just interrupted a meeting.
No, they take the hood off of his head. And then it turns out that it's Jason Voorhees' mother.
I was thinking Jason Voorhees when I was reading this.
It's Brandy. Take the hood off his head, she said, her voice shaking as she pulled her knees up to her chest. I kicked the knife away from him, then kneeled down. Before pulling the hood from the guy's face, I turned my head to Jane. I could see her foot bouncing, and her teeth were nibbling into her bottom lip.
Old teeth mouth Jane.
Yeah. What if we combine that? Her teeth were nibbling into her foot.
Oof. Jane, does it matter who this guy is? I asked, keeping one eye on the body. I understand why you want me to do it, but we need to call the cops. She nodded.
Trapped in her own head.
Okay. As I pulled my phone from my pocket and dialed the police.
Again. Dialed the police again. He's been trying to call 911 this entire time. I would assume they don't have like cell reception out there.
Well, that is the classic horror trope.
And a lot of this is filled with classic horror tropes. It does feel kind of like an 80s slasher movie, which everyone says Jeff the Killer is such a shitty slasher thing.
Maybe that's the meta commentary.
Oh my god. It took what seemed like forever for the sirens and flashing lights of the cops to reach us. They brought up a pair of blankets as they took us to the side to get our testimony. I watched as they covered Troy's body and as a group of CSI-looking guys went into the woods to find Randy. The officer who was talking to me, Officer Walker, asked me if I knew the guy who attacked us. I told him I didn't, and he said that it was some guy from JJC who they were investigating for a few girls disappearing from off campus. Officer Walker told me Jane and I were going to be taken to a hospital while they called our parents. Then he apologized for my loss. I thought it was going to be Jeremy Pettis getting revenge.
That could be. Maybe Jeremy Pettis was kicked out and he went and applied to college.
He's like, no, you ruined my bidet scholarship.
I'll never get into college now.
So is this slasher film called Bidet of Blood?
Oh, boy.
Bidet the World Stood Still? I don't know.
The Day of the Dead.
So this is this me now, for fuck's sake?
Yes.
That was 3 years ago. Oh, and I'm still living in Romeroville. I know it's Romeoville. With my mom and dad. After they picked me up, they begged me to go to the Rasmussen College in town.
Yep.
Rasmussen, the Rasputin College. And I couldn't help but agree. I didn't want to go too far from town, especially after Jane was admitted into the psych ward of St. Joseph's. She's crazy now. I didn't want to leave her behind, not after what we had to go through together, and I couldn't risk losing another friend. I still woke up screaming at night. That last camping trip was still playing in my head every time I tried to close my eyes. So it's not Jeff the Killer, though. It's a different guy.
But it doesn't feel like this, her going into the psych ward and him screaming at night feels very earned, because it's very sudden. Ha ha, spooky, scary story. Hey, Randy's missing. Oh shit, half the people are dead. It's just blunt.
I wish there had been, and this is just my stupid thing, but I wish there had been an explanation as to why the guy was in that particular part of the woods.
Yeah.
Like,
there was a half explanation, but none like a...
If the police said something like your friend interrupted him burying a girl out in the woods,
yeah,
then you could say, oh, well, that makes sense. It's coincidental to the extreme, but it makes sense.
Or even if it was just, he was just a psycho killer who would like to kill people. Like, there's no reason given. The frustrating thing is, I think what is supposed to be happening here is this is supposed to be postmodern, where things happen and sometimes things don't happen for a reason. Sometimes you don't get an answer. Mm-hmm. But there needs to be something satisfying story-wise as to why this is all occurring.
Mm.
This is sort of like No Country for Old Jeffs.
I'm not sure what I can see a number of thought processes leading to the story, but I don't think it's working as intended. I visited Jane as much as I could. I told her about everything that was going on, but all she cared about was the guy who killed our friend. She swore he was still out there, waiting for us to lower our guard so that he could push his knife into us. This is really becoming Jason Voorhees. My friend wouldn't listen when I told her that I saw the police stuff Troy and Randy's killer in a body bag. And after about a year, I stopped going to see her.
Hmm. Reasonable.
the last time I headed in there, one of the aides had told me I couldn't even go into her room. Jane tried to kill herself the night before with a pen the doctor had given her to help her with some sort of dream journal. When I asked her about the journal, the nurse said it was blank aside from one page that just said, he is real.
That we have a setup as to why Jane goes crazy and is obsessed with killing Jeff. Okay.
And I, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing in that for now, it's a character that exists in her head.
Yeah.
I mean, we could essentially look at it as she made up the Jeff the Killer story. But after that experience, now she lives in a mental world where that is actually real, and that's who came to get them.
I didn't want to revisit any of this until last week when I got out of class for the day. I decided to go into criminal justice for obvious reasons, and I was talking to one of my classmates when he stopped and pointed to me, car.
Look at your car! Oh no, me car!
Oh...
Dude, someone keyed you Impala. It actually was your, but... He said, and when I turned, I dropped the books in my arms. Felt... Lolly it.
Dude!
He said, and when I turned, I dropped the books in my arms, fell to the concrete. Scratched into the side of my white Chevy were three words that I only heard once that day in the woods. Go to sleep.
Lolliot, I've read your writing before. Again, were the misspellings intentional as some meta commentary, or like did this not get enough review beforehand? I don't know, dude.
I mean, I have stories like this too. I write them late at night and I post them up and I don't give a shit. So, you know, it just is a matter of Sure. Whether or not Lolly it gives a shit. If he doesn't, then it's like, hey, he posted this up and he, you know, did it on the fly.
But would you write your stories and be like, hey, podcast, review this now? Like, if I were going to do that, I think I would get a second pair of eyes from someone who wasn't on the podcast and like run a spell check and just read it through. I don't know. It feels a little bit sloppy. That's all I'm saying.
I left a comment. I just put Lolly it in all caps with two exclamation points. It's awaiting moderation. But yeah, I don't know. There's a couple options. First option, it just needs to be gone over again. Second option, we've been trolled. We got the epic troll.
Possibly.
DP died, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
He's looking at pharmacy porn.
I don't know what to think of this.
It's on my desktop, so.
Got the slideshow for his desktop.
Slideshow.
I like the idea that... I like it, the general idea of someone telling a scary campfire story.
Mm-hmm.
An unrelated horrible thing happens. And the person goes to their grave believing, no, it was that story that I told. That's what happened. That thing.
I like having that
psychological break. I like that concept. You know, it's
the most interesting part to this is the Jane's arc, I guess.
Jane's arc.
I feel like this should have just been from her perspective the entire time, and she's just going slowly crazy and trying to convince the reader of her psychosis, I suppose. Like, that would have been cool.
Yeah, but if you're going to do that, then also you gotta maybe not relate it to Jeff the Killer.
Yeah.
Just let it be its own thing.
And that would require a massive rewrite, which I'm not suggesting absolutely has to happen with the story, but I do feel that it's pulling in three different directions, and I couldn't get invested in it.
No, I couldn't either.
So does anybody...
have a lot of... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
We have a lot of characterization, but none of it really builds up any interest for me in the characters. So when they do die or undergo traumatic situations, it's like, okay. But this was kind of supposed to happen because it's Jeff the Killer. So I think what maybe Lolly was trying to attempt is let's humanize and sympathize with the bullies. And so when the murders do happen, it's much more impactful and it takes on a different meaning than just Jeff the Killer being gratuitous self-insert revenge fantasy. Which, okay, I get that. I just don't think it was pulled off the way that it was intended.
So does anybody here have a final quintessential statement about the story?
I don't.
This has been the Fear Fiction Podcast. Your hosts are Abysme, Dead Palette, and Slime Beast. Music by Abysme. Art by C.F. Comer. Voiceover by Atticus Jackson. Edited by Elias the Intern. Subscribe to FearFic on YouTube to stay up to date on new episodes.
Welcome to Bubba Shit's Family Slop House. If you're hungry and looking for some place to eat, if you're looking for anywhere to eat, just come on down and see your old buddy Bubba Shit. We got something for the whole family. Dad, look here, you can nibble on this loaf. Mama, get yourself some of this chili. Don't be shy, dig on in, get yourself some of that. Oh, it's good, chili. Oh, yeah. Now, the kids, don't even ask me about them kids. The kids get a little eeny-weeny cups or something. Yeah. Oh. Breathe it in, kids. Yeah. Bubba Shit's Family Slop House. Where the price is low and so are the seats and the tables. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
Y'all motherfuckers like alcohol?
No.
Well, damn. Well, If you do, you're a cool kid.
You're trying to, like, talk to all of our Mormon listeners.
That's exactly why I'm doing it.
Get them.
I know they really like it.
They love that near beer.
One of my favorite drinks is Laphroaig, which is a it's scotch. And it was I was introduced to it from my friend who went over to the UK. I wasn't in the UK at the same time, unfortunately, but they brought it back and said, you got to try this stuff. And it's crazy cool and delicious. And now there's an ad campaign I've seen on YouTube for Laphroaig, and it's weirdly pandering to millennials. And it's very strange to me. And if that turns you off, please give it a try. It's a really cool drink and I like it. So, yeah, that's my plug.
Are you literally plugging what you're drinking right now?
No, I wish. Okay. I don't have any. I'm still on the quill.
Yeah, so you haven't taken the Tussin challenge yet?
No, not yet. Working up to it.